today to bring a message. She asked if she could bring a New Year's message, so we're happy to have her, Kathy Stein.
Morning.
Morning.
Happy New Year. Everybody hear me? Good. Shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, we gather together today to give you thanks and to pray for greatness. Thank you for sending your Son that we might be saved through him. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We ask that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and your guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. Amen. Please join me in the reading of God's holy word, Luke 2:22-32. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Oh, bless you all. Guaranteed. The book of Luke begins by telling us that many have attempted to tell the story that, and the accounting of the things being fulfilled surrounding the birth of the Messiah. It assures the reader that he carefully investigated all of it and that his accounting is in fact the most true. So in telling the story, Luke tells us this little story about Jesus as a newborn infant, all of about 40 days. His parents, Mary and Joseph, took Jesus to the temple to present him to God. According to Jewish custom, they offered an animal sacrifice of thanksgiving and dedication to God. Mary and Joseph offered up their son to God with gratitude. Then a very odd thing happened. A very old man named Simeon walks into the temple, takes the baby Jesus into his arm, and praises God for keeping his promise. Simeon lived in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Simeon was a patient man. He was tireless, steadfast, unwavering, dedicated, and determined. Sometime early in his life, Simeon received a revelation from God saying he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. Simeon was content to wait to see how this revelation would come about. It's interesting to me to point out that Luke goes into a great deal of effort to explain that his accounting of the story is the most accurate, and yet he tells us the story about Simeon at the presentation of Christ. Why, you might ask, does Luke take the time to tell the story that's not in any of the other Gospels? Perhaps it's because Luke wants us to know that God keeps his promises. I love this story. We know that Jesus was a special child. Mary and Joseph knew that they had a special child. The angels had foretold it. The night of his birth was a busy place. And then there was that big star in the sky. They don't even know about the Magi coming to visit. Joseph and Mary are doing what they're supposed to do, and here comes this guy, Simeon, thanking God and blessing their child. Put yourself in their shoes for a second. The Bible is full of God promising impossible things. My Google search revealed there are 10 promises in the Bible. I promise, we're not going over all of them. However, I do want to spend a little time talking about the promises of God. God promised Abraham he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Genesis 18:14. The Lord asked, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Hannah prayed for a child and promised to dedicate him to God. Her prayers were answered with the birth of Samuel. There are other examples of God blessing people with the birth of children. Elizabeth and Zechariah had John the Baptist. Rebecca and Isaac had Esau and Jacob. Rachel and Jacob had Joseph and Benjamin. The Bible is full of promises of healing. Peter's mother-in-law was healed, the centurion's servant, and Jesus healed an infirm woman. The Bible tells us about lepers, the blind, lame, deaf, paralyzed, among many others being healed. Exodus 15:26 tells us that God is the Lord who heals us. The Bible is simply jam-packed with promises made to us by God. When we start digging into the promises, we find that he promises us many things. Sometimes they're embedded in stories and biblical figures, such as God's promise to us through the story of Noah, that he will never flood the earth again. I established my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come." Genesis 9, 8, and 9. So what does all that mean to you and I? All the stuff in the Bible happened a really long time ago. We're probably not going to get visited by an angel anytime soon to tell us something amazing. Really, what is all that promise stuff? God has given us his great and precious promises to give us hope, joy, peace, wisdom, and strength for whatever we are facing today. I want to focus on three of those promises. I pray that each of you will find one that you can hold on to regardless of the challenges life sends your way. The first one is God loves us. God's love is unequaled in all creation and all created beings. Jesus displayed his love by willingly going to the cross and dying for sinners. Love is a choice. Love is what a person chooses to do. We all know John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank you. Many years ago, there was a boy, Patrick, who was continually in trouble. He was forever breaking the rules and often in trouble at school. His father could not understand why. His father provided for him in every way with a good home. He spent time with him, and he showered his child with unconditional love. Patrick had been raised in the church. His father read the Bible to him, and he attended Sunday school. His father had never been provoked to show anger. The child's behavior was a mystery to him. One day, Patrick was playing around with his baseball, which he had been told not to do. No surprise, he eventually broke a window. And the child was 10 years old and certainly knew better. Father headed upstairs and took off his belt. The child knew what was coming, bent over for his punishment. And the father said, "No, son, you take the belt." Father took off his shirt and told Patrick to give him 7 lashes across his back. The child started to cry and said he couldn't. The father insisted, and the child relented and started hitting his father softly with the belt. The child encouraged him to hit harder, and the child did so, weeping. The father explained that he took the punishment the child deserved because he loved him like God loved him. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the most amazing display of how much God loves us. And Patrick, who was deeply shaken by the lesson, and from that day forward never seemed to get into the same amount of trouble again. Romans 8:38-39 promises, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. God loves us deeply. Second promise, God is always with us. Have you noticed that people are sometimes more likely to do something when someone goes with them? Somebody might be more willing to sign up or to make a commitment to do something if a friend signs up with them. The child is more likely to go on a ride if a parent goes with them. An employee is more willing to make company policy an issue if they know that their employer is going to back it up. So it is with us and God. Hebrews 13:5b tells us that God will be where we go because God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. God's promises are eternal, and he will provide love, comfort, and courage so that we can live an abundant life in him and through him. God will never leave us or forsake us. God is at work in us, in our difficulties, in our situation. And even though trials and challenges will not be removed from our lives, God is there. In a world constantly changing, God's promise to never leave us is encouraging. Deuteronomy 31:8. So be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. It's part of Deuteronomy. You know the story. The Israelites have been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. They're about to go to the promised land. And just as they're getting ready to go, God says, okay, Moses, it's time to die. So Moses makes the announcement that he's going to die, and Joshua is next leader. And Joshua has been an assistant for 40 years. That was a pretty comfortable spot. And now, he is going to be the next leader. Those are certainly big shoes to fill and a big job to do. But God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's promise not to leave us or forsake us is found in multiple places in both the Old and New Testament. With this promise, we can be assured that he is always with us. God will strengthen and help us. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A little is known about Isaiah. We know that he was the son of Amoz. He was married, and he had sons. It's very likely that he was a priest. There were certainly highs and lows in Isaiah's life. His faithfulness to God was rewarded. There is a story of a family whose house caught on fire. Each parent tried to grab a few belongings in a child's hand to get out of the house as quickly as possible. The little girl, holding her father's hand, broke free and ran upstairs to get her kid of care. When trying to come back down, she discovered that she was trapped. She ran to an upstairs window and yelled for her dad's help. Her father shouted for her to jump and promised to catch her. Due to the smoke, the little girl couldn't see her dad and cried because she was too scared to jump. Her father replied, "Don't worry, honey, you just jump. I am right under you and I will catch you. Although you can't see me, I can see you." Certainly, our Heavenly Father sees us at all times. We can find comfort and protection in his loving arms. He will never desert us. 3, God has great plans for us. God designed each of us for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has a purpose and a plan for you. His plans are sure, true, and faithful. God knows every detail about each one of us. He knows your likes, your dislikes, your personal characteristics, your family. He's an expert on you. In a world of over 7 billion people, it's easy to feel small. God knows you personally and completely. The Bible tells us he even knows how many hairs are on our Jeremiah 29:7, "For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm, plans to give you a hope and a future." No one knows what the future holds. What we do know is that God's plan for us is greater than any physical blessing or future here on earth. No matter what happens, God is in control, and he will continue to draw you back to his plan for your life. Theologian Ken Boa wrote, "God has entrusted us with certain resources, gifts, and abilities. These things rightfully belong to him. Our responsibility is to live with that trust by managing these things well according to his design and desire." We do not always know what's best. We should pray and seek God's direction regarding what to do and look forward to what God has for us. The key is to seek God's plan and timing and trust in God's plan for our future. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. God knows the future, and he has a plan for our lives, which is a million times better than any plan we could have. God's plan is perfect, his timing is perfect, and his motivation is his great love for us. God's timing is not always our timing. Sometimes it takes years to see how things work out. But do not be discouraged when life is not following your plan. We can trust God. He has great plans. In the holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey is about to depart for his honeymoon, just as the stock market crashes. The people whose money is invested in Bailey Brothers savings alone are terrified. They won't be able to live until the bank reopens. George keeps a cool head, voices reason to the crowd, and uses his own funds to secure the deposits. George ultimately saves dozens of livelihoods and redeems his own choice to remain in Bedford Falls rather than following his dreams to move out of town. You may have seen the movie. Life goes on, and when faced with a crisis, George wishes he was never born. His wish is granted, and he learns the true impact of his life until he says, "I want it back, no matter how awful it is." I know for me that when my husband was taking the classes to become a pastor, he realized that he had actually felt God's calling on him to become a pastor when he was 12 and ignored him. John ignored the call for a long time and had a great career with the police department. Little did he realize just how patient God is. So we can have absolute confidence in God to do what he says he will do. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not a human, he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? In Hebrews 6:18, we are told, "So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold the hope that lies before us." Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." I have a poem I'd like to share with you. I think that you'll know it. "Footprints in the Sand." "One night I dreamed," I'm by Mary Stevenson, let's give her credit. "One night I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky, and in each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets, and other times there was only one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I really was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, 'You promised, Lord, that if I followed you, you would be with me always.' But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, that there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "Those are the times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." God loves you. God is always with you. God has great plans for you. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you for your great love and care for us. You are a God of promises. Direct our paths and give us the confidence to follow your direction. help us to rely on you alone. Help us to make wise choices throughout the week for the glory of your name. We ask these things in your name. Amen.